AM 560, The Answer. Prepare to have your mind opened. The lies of the mainstream media are about to be exposed, and the hypocrisy of the left is about to be revealed. You've tuned into Black and Right. This is a revolution in how you think about politics, race, and culture. And leading that revolution are your hosts, Charles Love and John Anthony.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Black and Right with Charles and John. I'm Charles Love. John Anthony's off today. So I know you've been hearing several different voices over the last few weeks. John was the constant. We had some really cool and interesting guests in. But I am back. You're probably wondering where I was. We're going to get into a little bit of that and some other things. What I want to do today is what I try to do every week is talk about the culture. Talk about the dangers of the left, talk about where we're going as a country and where we need to be, and use the news stories and interesting conversations and stories to tie all that together. So we're going to be talking about a few things there, but first I want to start off with the topic of where I've been, where I was for the last couple of weeks, and finding a way to tie that into those topics that I like to talk about. So I was on vacation. As you know, I was off for 2 weeks. It was a vacation, a family vacation, but not one that you normally hear people talk about. We went to Europe for 2 weeks and spent that time in the Czech Republic, Austria, and Hungary. You know, not your typical European vacation, as they say. And as you can imagine, a lot of people say, well, Prague is so beautiful. It was a wonderful trip. It was a lot of beauty and a lot of history. I want to start by, on that piece, the beauty piece, and saying that we have to keep in mind as Americans, we don't usually think about this, but we're a young country. So there are places on the East Coast in New York and Philadelphia, St. Augustine, a few places where you'll find some buildings from the 1700s. Late 1700s, just a few, and obviously the occasional building from the 1600s. But here we're talking about visiting countries and cities that were established 1,000 years ago and more. So you have a lot of buildings and things that are still freestanding from that time, which is amazing to see, and interesting to see how as these cities and countries modernized, how they were able to keep that history intact and kind of weave some things in and around it. So you go and you see it and you're like, man, this is beautiful. You're looking at castles and you're looking at old historic churches and it's beautiful. And you have to relish in the fact that in the 13th, 14th, 15th century, they didn't have the same technology they have today. It's like, wow, how'd they put this together? They didn't have power tools. I mean, this is really cool. But me being the conservative, I take a step back and I look at it in other ways too, which I'll get to. But the other piece was the historic piece. You know, like I said, these old places. I saw one of the oldest functioning firehouses that's still in existence, still in use. It was built in the 1600s. The largest and oldest synagogue in Europe was there. And it was really cool. The last show I did, I want to reference that, though, when I was here in town, we did a show about America's greatness. So you may hear me talk about how wonderful these places were and say, see, this is antithetical to all that stuff you're talking about. See, these places are wonderful and great, too. But you're talking about aesthetics there. And one thing you notice, little subtle things when you're there. So you travel through and you get off the airplane and you get in a cab and you go to stores and restaurants and you find that all the music playing is American artists. Right. So it's either current stuff, but most of the time it's stuff from the 80s and 90s. It's older music. Everywhere you go, many of the people speak English. And you feel those influences. You see all the businesses you're used to seeing here, you see there. But that's part of the thing. It's like, regardless of what we have going on here, when you get there, everybody's like, man, we want to be like America. So a good example is I'm in Hungary talking to some people, and I'm looking at these billboards, and I'm seeing Patrick Dempsey and Bruce Willis went over there, and they paid him millions of dollars to do an ad for an energy drink. And it's like, wow, well, where are your actors and your celebrities and all that kind of thing? And I was like, well, they all want to go to America. What you think of outside of soccer, because that's an international thing. So there's sports. They did focus on that. But you would never come to America. You wouldn't even think it would seem weird to you to walk through the streets of Chicago or Philadelphia and see billboards of Hungarian actors or, you know, Australian sports stars and musicians. You just don't see that. So the effect and the influence we have is so great that we don't notice it on this end, but, you know, it's prominent there. But the other interesting piece is going back to the beauty. So you see these castles. There was much of the stuff we saw was built by, obviously, the Holy Roman Empire, but much of it was the Habsburgs. So you see this tremendous buildings and all this wealth, and you have to sit back and wonder, as a conservative, I look at it and I say, well, who built this stuff? Where did this money come from? Because today in our society, there's always this push against capitalism. And I wonder, well, if these people who, you know, if we go back to the early 1900s and talk about the men who built America, your Andrew Carnegies, your Cornelius Bennett's, and your John Rockefellers, and they talk about how they were vicious businessmen, you know, or you go to today, you talk about, you know, Tim Cook or Jeff Bezos and their businesses and how they cornered the market and how powerful they are. Elizabeth Warren talking about breaking them up, which we'll get to those debates in a moment. But you look at that and, you know, people want to vilify capitalism, but you have to say, okay, they're offering, whether you like them or not, they're offering products and services that people want and need, right? Whatever your thoughts of Apple being too big or being too dominant, people line up when they come out with a new phone. Whatever your thoughts are on Facebook, you know, a lot of conservatives say we're being shadow banned and they're treating conservatives unfairly, but everybody has an account. When you think back to this royalty, there was none of that. They didn't earn their keep. They didn't offer a product, a service that made people want to do this. They, by dictatorial fiat, decided, I want to build a castle. Get the people to build me a castle. We went to one place that was a massive castle. And it was built by the queen, and the queen had it built as a place that she was planning to vacation. It took 70 years to build it, and no one in the family ever set foot in it for a century. They had many places. We went to the Prague Castle, which was built in 1050. Who built that, right? Where did the money come from to build that? We went to, if you go to Hungary, in the Hungarian parliament, they took an old, you know, royal palace and made it the parliament. So the government is housed there now. But they have their crown jewels, so to speak, buried in a room in the palace, now parliament. Where did that money come from? So when you talk about capitalism being unfair and creating haves and have-nots, what capitalism did, there was always have and have-nots. What capitalism did was create a middle class, because there was no middle class in the 11th century. There was no middle class in the 1700s. There was no middle class. You know, everybody either was royalty or people who benefited from being around royalty, or they were living in extreme poverty. So as I'm going through these countries and seeing this stuff, this is part of what I'm thinking about and what I'm seeing and what I'm questioning. And then another thing, a lot of people ask me when I come back and say where I went, and they say, oh, that's cool. What are the people like? They want to ask me if the people were nice. And they were. But I said, that's a kind of interesting question, because you got to think, when I went there, I stayed in a, you know, popular part of town. And then when I went out, I went out to see tourist attractions. So you're going to restaurants, you're going to the service industry, you're going to hotels. So you're going to places where people are being paid to be nice, right? You're not seeing the average person. You're not going out to the suburbs. I liken it to Chicago with all its problems. But let's be real. Chicago is a world-class city. And when people come to Chicago from all over the world to visit, they don't go to Roseland or East Garfield Park. They don't get on the train and say, you know, and not just because those areas are poorer than downtown, they don't get on the train and say, let's go to Schaumburg, right? They go downtown. They go to the Beam. They go to the museums, which are some of the best in the world. They go to world-class restaurants, which we have many of. So you can come to Chicago and say, wow, this place is wonderful. you know, why are we hearing all these negative things about Chicago? So it's all relative. So the people were nice, but then the people are nice here if you're seeing the right people. So, and lastly, and most importantly, I want to get into communism, because the other unique thing about the areas we went is that these were some of the last countries in Europe that broke away from communism. So what I want to do there is kind of spend a moment to talk about what that meant, how that affected the people there and the people I talked to, and how it's kind of a prelude to what we have going on here. You're listening to Black and Right on AM 560 The Answer and Facebook Live. Back in a moment.
And now, more of Black and Right on AM 560. Here are your hosts, John Anthony and Charles Love.
Welcome back to Black and Right with Charles and John. I'm flying solo here. Had to run back in if you saw me. A little technical difficulty. The man, George, is on it, making things run smooth for me. Appreciate it. So where I left off was communism. Talking about my trip to Europe, Czech Republic, Austria, and Hungary. So what I was saying is, these countries were some of the last countries. We think communism, we're thinking about, you know, Franco in Spain and Ceausescu and Hoxha and Romania and all these places. And the leading up to World War II and then after World War II. And then these countries kind of falling away through the 50s and the Cold War and the 60s. But it was interesting because we were in countries that were holding with communism until Czech Republic, 1989. So as recently as me in high school, they were still a communist country. So things were a little different there. And in each city, we had a tour guide. So the woman in Prague was in her late 50s, early 60s. So it was interesting because she was old enough. She was an adult when it happened. So she lived through it, breathed it, remembered it. And so I didn't bring up anything political. I'm just seeing the sights. I'm a typical tourist, but I'm soaking it in. But as she's showing me these castles and talking about this wealth and going to these different places, it comes up. And because it's, you know, 2019, it's the 30-year anniversary of their freedom from socialists and communists. So they were celebrations. They had banners all over the place. They had functions. Every museum had special exhibits. So they were really paying attention to this and making this a big thing. So I asked her about it. So we were at one of the palaces, and I said, so what do the people here think about it? And of course, we hate it. What was it like growing up under it? She talked about how bad it was. And I said, so what do you think about, obviously you get international news, so what do you think about those in America on the left that are pushing for, you know, something closer to that? They don't call it communism, but they're pushing for equality and socialism and everybody being treated the same. They want equity instead of equality. And she was like indignant. She was like, she was upset about it. She said, it's crazy. She said, how can they, it's a different time. You have history of the internet. How can they know what happened and just be okay with that and not say anything and try to, you know, push this going forward? And so that was an interesting narrative that she had to say about that. And she talked about how people for years had to work for the government. They were assigned these jobs and they made no money. So they would learn a skill so they can make some additional money to support their family. And they would work this skill on the side. And that was the only way they could even eke by a life. But even though they did, the day job was technically for free for the government, the night job was the money they got to keep. But the government still made sure they paid taxes on that money as well. So it was an interesting thing to see and get an experience from. We went to, they have this wall called the John Lennon Wall. And it's just what it sounds like. When John Lennon was killed, the people met there mourning, you know, the loss of the Beatle. They painted a painting of him, and people would start putting messages on the wall. And the story she told me about that, which was interesting, is that this was in, you know, the early 80s, still the height of communism and restrictive government and things you could not do. And people were going there and they started turning it into a political, soft political uprising. So they started to make messages, negative messages about the government, messages about freedom, messages about what's going on in America. And the communists didn't like it. But what saved them and what it made it interesting is where the wall was and why they picked it. So when other countries had embassies there, they put them in the same area, much strategically. So they were up on this hill and they can look down and they can see what all these other diplomats are doing and kind of keep a check on them. So this wall was just outside the French and one other embassy, the American embassies around the corner, all the embassies there. So when they started doing that to the wall, the French would put a camera in the window. This is right at the beginning of CNN and international news. And the French would put a camera in the window and record what was going on and stream it out to the world. So the leaders wanted to stop this, but they couldn't just go and beat or be violent to the people because they knew it was being streamed. So that was the first kind of slither of freedom. But what the people did is they would go and take names and put spies in the crowd to find out who the people who were there. And then afterwards, they made sure they were dealt with. But on the surface in front of the camera, all they did was every night they would clean up everything and they would paint the wall white and then somebody would paint it again. And to this day, that wall is still there. You can go up there now and there'll be something on the wall about, let's say, Hong Kong. We support Hong Kong. And the next day it'll be gone. Somebody will put something else up there. And when we were there, I have pictures of it. And there were some people like, we support mainland China. Or you'd see comments about Trump or Erdogan or what else is going on in the world. It becomes this place you go to. Somebody's calling me while I'm on the show. It's a place that you go to kind of air your political grievances, so to speak. Even now, after communism, it's become a thing. So the way I tie all this whole trip to what we tend to talk about here, because coming up, we're going to talk about, spend some time on that debate. And the things that those Democratic candidates are promulgating and the fact that those things are very similar, even though they try to package them, put a perfume scent and a beautiful bow on it. It's really that same egalitarian, everybody's the same no matter what. So the last thing, so that was in Prague. When I got to Hungary, I had a guided tour, and she was the opposite. She was in her early 30s, late 20s, something like that. Yeah, she was almost 30. And we're going around, same thing. They got a house of terror dedicated, a museum dedicated to the ills of communism. They have all these different things. They have, there's an interesting history on the Jewish quarter there that is definitely worth seeing. So she's guiding us, taking us around to see some things. And when we got to communism, I waited for her to bring it up, and I asked her the same thing. But my question to her was a little different, and it was awesome. She put me in a place. It was in my place. It was funny. So I asked her, I'm like, well, you're young. You weren't alive during communism. So my question is, what are they teaching the youth in school about it? And what are your thoughts on it and your beliefs on it, not living through it? Do you have negative or positive views about it, or do you really know? And she said, well, one, they don't really teach us anything about it in school. They don't candy coat it, but they just kind of dance around it. It's not really an issue. She does guided tours, so she goes to the museums a lot, and she's in school, so she knows about it, and she knows about it through her parents, but they don't really teach it in school. But where I was schooled was the second piece. And what she said was, so to the piece about her not living through it and not knowing it, so what are her thoughts of it? She said, really politely, but kind of smug, she said, Charles, do you think communism, I was born in 1990. Do you think communism ended in 89? And then the next year we were the U.S.? She's like, no, we went through 10 years of pure hell, you know, and I had to live through that. Much of my early childhood was living through that. But then she talked a lot about the story she got from her parents and what they told her they went through. And she personally, without me bringing it up, addressed the equality thing. She said, the problem is everybody wants people to be treated fairly, but we had a situation, we had a period here where a cleaning lady was making the same as a doctor. She said, so why would you be incentivized to do a doctor? You know, she talked about the only people who were still holding on to communism, there were only two small segments of the population. Those who were benefiting because they were close to the people in power, and the people who didn't want to work to get what they wanted. So they'd rather be down here and have just a little bit to skate by life, but at least they don't have to work for it, then they have the possibility to get up here. But if they don't work, they could be down here. Those were the only two people. Then she told me a story about healthcare. She said, the one thing I do like about what we have here, our government here, is I like that we have government healthcare. I said, oh, that's interesting. She said, but I'll tell you, it's not the way that people think it is, what I hear people say in the U.S. And her example was, she said, so, you know, government, the healthcare is paid for here. It's paid for by the government. But I still see a private doctor when I can. And she said, I got a friend that needed to see a specialist around her age. And so she had gone a couple of weeks before we were there. So September. Her appointment was in February. She said, I bet you don't have to wait that long. So she said, just common sense says, if capitalism makes it cost too much, we might need to tweak that. But the government controlling everything is obviously bad, too. We need some common sense thing in the middle. But I think that the people that I listen to here in America are trying to go too far. So this is a 30-year-old Hungarian woman, non-political, that's just saying, just common sense says you can't go with having the government take care of everything. Now, when we come back, we're going to talk about those wonderful people here who want to do that, the Democrat candidates for president, why they're wrong, and how that communism can be a cautionary tale. You're listening to Black and Right, AM 560, The Answer, and on Facebook Live. Back in a moment.